1,005, it was in all three boroughs. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining apart the shadow thin, giving us light for those who long have gone and on, guiding the wise men on their way, unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful
edition of a songbook, and he attempted to write the following: praised is the Lord by day and praised by night. Praised is he when we lie down and praised when we rise up. However, after proofreading, he found that he had made a mistake and had written this: praised is the Lord by day and praised by night. Praised is the Lord when we lie down, and praised when we wise up. Though this was a mistake in his mind, it actually, I believe, brings forth more truth than it would have in its intended way. Decisions. Each and every day we have choices to make. Certainly one of the choices which you and I as Christians are presented with on a day-by-day basis is the choice as to whether or not we will praise the Lord. It is the decision to show up to worship. It is the decision to walk in the paths of righteousness. It is the decision as to whether or not we will follow God or the world. This morning, we want to consider a woman who truly made godly decisions. We want to talk to her for a few moments about the woman named Ruth. Of course, you're familiar with the story of Ruth there in the Old Testament. You're familiar with its wonderful passages showing love, faithfulness, loyalty, and yes, godly decision making. For the next few moments, we want to consider two choices that we see in Ruth chapter 1. Two different types of choices, excuse me. First of all, we will look at unwise decisions, and then we will look at one wise decision that was made. My hope and my prayer for you this morning is that you will examine the choices that you are making, the decisions that you are making, the paths that you are following, and that you will learn to make better and therein more godly decisions as you go on your Christian walk. First of all, let's consider the unwise choice of Elimelech, the unwise choice or decision of Elimelech. Beginning there in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, we see Elimelech presented with two choices. Now, these are not choices that are only presented to Elimelech. As a matter of fact, they are presented to each and every one of us every day of our lives. Elimelech had the choice to do one of two things, either trust God or not. He could either put his faith in God to see him through, or he could take his life, and therefore the lives of his family, out of the hands of God and put them on into his own feeble mortal hands. You see, in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1, we learn that there was a famine in the land. And Elimelech made his decision, rather than staying where he was and trusting God to provide, he took his family's lives, he took his life out of the hands of God and decided to make the decision that he was wiser, that he would journey to the land of the Moabites. Well, as with you and I, with every decision, with every choice, comes consequences. Elimelech made the decision to not trust God, made the decision to leave the land and to go to the land of Moab. The consequence for that decision was his life. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 3, we learn that Elimelech died there in the land of the Moabites. What's interesting is that rabbinic tradition teaches that Elimelech died as a result of one of two things, either because of greed or because of his lack of faith in God. You know what's fascinating to me is that in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6, we read that the land that they had left, God had blessed. God had blessed that land, that famine-stricken land, that land where people were staying, people were surviving, there was no mass exodus. God had blessed that land by giving it the bread that it needed. You see, Elimelech made the wrong decision. He decided not to trust in God. He decided that he himself knew better what they needed. And as a result, he lost his life. Now, can I ask you something, please? Does this sound familiar to you? As you're sitting there today, listening to this lesson, does that sound like a choice that you've made? Perhaps recently. Have you been making the choice to take yourself out of the hands of God and deciding that you know better what you need? If that is the case, then I would invite you to reconsider your decision. If that is the case, then I would advise you to think about what it is that you are doing there. What should we do? When hard times come, when decisions need to be made, what should we do? Well, I want to advise you to do exactly what Paul advised us to do in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. By all things, by prayer and by supplication, make your needs known unto God. And you know what's wonderful? When we do that, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 tells us what the reward is. It is that we will obtain that peace which passes all understanding. When we put our trust and our faith in God, He truly provides a way. There is a song that we sing from there in our song books, number 523. I know the Lord will find a way for me. You know, I actually have heard a different version of that song sung, and I think I like the other version a little better. It's, I know the Lord will make away from me. You see, the Lord doesn't have to search because God knows all things. He doesn't have to search for a way for you and I. He can make a way for you and I. But it's only when and if we trust Him. Folks, don't take your life out of His hands. Trust Him to see you through. You don't want to set yourself at odds with God. It is a fearful thing to be in the hands of a wrathful God. And one day we're all going to be in His hands because He's going to judge each and every one of us. And Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31 tells us that you don't want to stand before a wrathful, that is to say, angry God. Elimelech made the choice, the decision, if you will, to not trust God and instead to trust himself. I want to encourage you, don't make that same mistake. However, there is a second unwise decision that I want you to notice. It is the unwise decision of Malion and Kilion. The unwise decision of Malion and Kilion. Now, Malion and Kilion were, of course, the sons of Naomi and Elimelech. And upon first examination, when we read Ruth chapter 1, we might not spot right off the mistake which these two young men made. We might not see the unwise choice which they chose to make. But if you examine it, what did these two boys do? They went against God's law. You say, how did he do that? Well, according to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3, the nation of Israel, the congregation of Israel, if you will, they were told not to ever marry a Moabite. As you see from Ruth chapter 1, however, that's just what Malion and Kilion did. They married Moabite women. They allowed Moabite women into the congregation of Israel, going against the word, the will of God. You know, Solomon did this over in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2, and it cost him his life. It cost him his kingdom. Malion and Kilion did it here in Ruth chapter 1. And in verse 5, we learn that it cost them their lives. You see, they put their wants, their wishes, their needs, their desires above the word of the Lord. And it cost them. They made a poor and unwise choice. How often do you and I do this? How often do we put our needs, our wants, our wishes, our desires, our lust, if you will, above the word and the will of the Lord? Think about it. The Lord tells us, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 4, put my word in your heart, store it up, and live. What do we say? I don't have time, I'm too busy. What does God tell us? Tell us there in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. He tells us there that we are to love the Lord our God above all else. But he also tells us that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. But what do we say? We say, Lord, I'm living for myself. I'm looking out for number one. What does he tell us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14? He tells us there that we need to share the gospel with every creature, that we need to be preachers and teachers of the gospel of Christ. But we say, that's not my job. That's why I have a preacher. That's why the church has hired these two men to go out and to do all of the work for me. Folks, when we do that, we're putting our wants, our wishes, and our desires above God. And we better be real careful about doing that. Now, I do want to mention something here. In terms of the unwise choice of Malion and Kilion, I want you to consider the big picture. Think about who I told you that their father was. It was Elimelech, the same man that didn't trust God to see him through. So these boys are seeing their parents make poor choices, unwise decisions, ungodly decisions. Parents, there's the warning to you today. Your kids are watching you. Your godliness or the lack thereof will have an impact on your kids. Now, I know what many are saying. Oh, wait a minute. No. Now, my kids, they're of an age where they need to make their own decisions, and that's fine. That's fine. There is a point at which a child, or whenever they become an adult, they have to make their own choices. But if they have grown up watching you not put God first, if they have grown up watching you not put the Word of God first, then they will make those same choices. I want to encourage you. Make the decision to put God's Word and His will first in your life. However, third and finally this morning, I want us to examine the wonderful and wise decision made by Ruth. What a godly and wonderfully loyal woman that we find here. In Ruth chapter 1, in verse beginning at verse 15, going through really verse 17, we find Ruth making wonderful, godly choices. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, tried to send her back to her people, tried to encourage her to stay with the Moabites. Now, her sister-in-law, Orpah, listened. She went back to her people, went back to the Moabite people. But Ruth made a godly decision. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, she chose the congregation of Israel over that physical family. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, she chose the true God of heaven over the gods of the Moabite people. And here's what's wonderful. Here's what is so beautiful about the story of Ruth. Many of us look at it and we see the love factor. And oh, it's wonderful to see she and Boaz find one another and to see this good, godly woman rewarded for great decisions made. But the beautiful part is that God saw her make these decisions and He lifted her up. And brethren, the same thing holds true for you and I today. The same thing is still true of you and I today. You see, God is still calling us out of darkness. He is still reminding us, you are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. He is still saying to us, come out of darkness into my marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. He is still inviting us to leave behind the gods of our society, that money which gets in our way, that love of money which gets in our way so often. He is inviting us, leave behind that God. Instead, worship me, the true God of heaven. He wants us to leave that love and that lust for money behind, because, of course, we know that the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. And do you know what's wonderful? When we make the decision to come out of darkness and into His marvelous light, when we make the decision to leave behind the gods of our society and follow the true God of heaven, when we make godly decisions, yes, there are rewards in the hereafter, but so often you and I as Christians are guilty of being so forward thinking that we don't see the blessings that God is giving us right now. We don't understand that when we make godly decisions now, God exalts us now. We are blessed. It is a blessing even today to live as a Christian. Yes, the reward, our eventual reward is heaven, but God blesses us each and every day here and now. The key is found in James chapter 4 and verse 10. There, James writing, God inspiring, James says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." What a wonderful promise. Now, does it take humility? Does it take humbling yourself to follow God, to trust God? Yes. Does it take humility? Does it take humbling yourself to put His Word and His will in your life first? Yes. But the rewards can and will be seen in your life, both now and in the hereafter. So what path are you following? On the screen before you, there is a picture of the diverging path. On one side you see the cross, on the other side you see a dirt path leading away. The dirt path is meant to symbolize that path followed by the world. It is the path that the humans trod. It is the way of the world, the way of society. It is the path which contains that love and lust for money, power, fame, riches, glory. But the good news is, as you can see from the statement which I've left for you there, another quote from another song which we often sing, the way of the cross leads home. Home to heaven. Home to eternal life. Home to a place with the Father. That's the biggest decision that you will make today. My question is for you, what will your decision be? If you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take care of that even today. Perhaps you're here at one time you were making good, godly decisions, but maybe you've strayed away. It happens. It happens. Pride and arrogance enter in so many times. If we can assist you in any way, we want to encourage you, let your needs be known as together we sing the song of invitation. Deeper.